instead of hearing the word of God. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. We're to go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That must mean every creature can hear, every creature can receive, every creature has a chance to be saved. But they first have to hear the word of the Lord. He said, there's not a famine of food. There's not a famine of bread. We got plenty of bread. He didn't say there was a famine for a thirst of water and for water to drink. He said, there's not a famine of crops. There's not a famine of anything else, but there is a famine of my people. God said, my people hearing the word of God, that is where the famine is. We got plenty of food. We got plenty of bread. But for us sitting in this congregation tonight, there is a famine of hearing the word of God. Why the famine? Number one, I'm going to be real quick. Number one, I believe because of preaching or the lack thereof. Preaching. There was a lot of guys stood behind a pulpit this morning, called themselves preachers, but they were nothing more than puppets. They were nothing more than wolves and sheep's clothing. I know the Bible says judge not, but read the rest of the chapter. Preacher, there's a lot of guys stood in pulpits today all across the world that claim to be a God-called preacher, but yet they looked out at the congregation that was sitting in front of them, and they said, oh, there's a millionaire. I got to say something to appease him. Oh, there's this person. There's a politician. I got to say something to appease them. And you say, you done went to meddling. No, I done went to going to tell you that there is a famine because of the lack of preaching. It's not about my ideas. It's not about my philosophies. It's not about my morals. It's not about what I have to say or what I think the word of the Lord said. It's my job as a preacher to preach what thus saith the word of God. Whether I understand it or not, it's my job as a preacher to tell you God has said, God has said, God said this, and the word of the Lord came unto me. And that is where the problem lies. We need to get back to preaching. It don't matter what I think the Bible says. Preacher, I just want to know what it actually says. It's not my idea the way I want to interpret it. God has given us life. The Spirit of the Lord gives us life to understand. I believe that Bible from cover to cover. And if you don't have any trouble believing Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If you don't have any trouble believing that, you won't have any trouble believing any part of the 66 books of that Bible. If you can believe Genesis 1, chapter number 1, verse number 1, you can believe the whole Bible. You may not understand it. You may not get it all, but you can believe every word in that Bible. But nowadays, preaching or the lack thereof has become so watered down. She sang the song a while ago, The Blood. There's a lot of churches, Baptist churches, preacher, that won't mention the blood. They'll say, oh, you believe in that slaughterhouse religion? Yes, sir. Christ died. Christ died a cruel death. He was scourged and he was beaten and he was mocked. I believe every word of the Bible that says how vicious and how vile, Brother David, his crucifixion was. I believe every word where it says they took a cat of nine tails and they beat him till his visage was marred beyond understanding or beyond vision. Preach, I believe every word where it said he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe every word when they said they gave him vinegar and sop to drink. I believe every word when he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and he gave up the ghost and died. I believe every word. I may not understand it. I may not can even envision it in my mind, but I believe there was a Savior that died, shed his blood so that I could be washed, my sins washed away. For that grace by faith I was saved because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do believe the Bible tells us you have to be washed in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But yet men don't want to tell you that you got to be washed in the blood. And we've turned deaf ears to the truth of the Bible. We've turned deaf ears to the truth of what God has to say because, number one, of preaching or the lack thereof. But number two, the second word I got wrote down up there, and I've already hit a little bit on this, believing. Preacher, I'm convinced that Baptist people are putting their stamp of approval on a lot of things God's not for. I'm convinced by Baptist people, and I'm Baptist. That's what I am, Baptist from top of my head to bottom of my feet. I'm not saved because I'm a Baptist, but I believe I'm going to heaven first class because I'm a Baptist. But a lot of Baptists are getting this idea that God's going to just understand. He'll understand if I don't make it Sunday morning. He'll understand, preacher, if God knows. You're right, he does. He knows how wicked your heart is. He knows how wicked I am. And Brother Sam will be here tomorrow night. Preacher's brother will be here tomorrow night. He'll throw the sugar on you. But preacher, a lot of Baptist people are okaying some stuff that God says is an abomination. A lot of Baptist people are okaying stuff that God says is murder. A lot of Baptist people are okaying stuff that God says is mockery. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about abortion. I'm talking about sodomy. And I'm talking about social drinking. And that's just three of the things. And we have a hard time believing that God says, I'm going to judge sin. You rest assured, God is going to judge sin. It may not show up in your life, but I can promise you it's going to show up somewhere in the generations. And that's what scares me to death. Your kids and your grandkids may have to pay for sins that you've done. You say you believe that. The Bible teaches that it's a generational thing. But yet, it goes in one ear. We got a preacher, I say he's a preacher. I use that term loosely with this guy. It's probably been, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago. I told you I got a good memory. It's just short. It could have happened yesterday, but I ain't real sure. We were at a Christian Youth Fellowship youth meeting. I think it was December. Wasn't it right after Christmas that we always went to that? And I don't know if y'all are familiar with Tabernacle Baptist Church, Greenville, South Carolina, Dr. Harold B. Seidler, one of the cornerstones of the faith in our area. Tabernacle, for their Christmas revival, preacher was having Dr. Johnny Pope between Christmas and New Year. And Dr. Pope's a friend of ours. We love Dr. Pope. I talk to him on a regular basis. And I get a call from another preacher that was a Tabernacle graduate. And Brother Robbie Robertson was his name, and he said, Scott, there's a preacher and a group of his men from his church protesting Dr. Pope being at Tabernacle. And this preacher, this guy, was a Tabernacle graduate. And preacher, he's standing out there, if you've never been, Tabernacle comes to like a point in the road, right on the point, and there's sidewalks in the point. The church is just right here, steps of the church going up. And these guys were standing on that point with signs protesting Dr. Pope being at Tabernacle. And I know what you're thinking, you bunch of idiots. That's exactly what they were. And Brother Robbie commenced to tell me that, Scott, if you flip on this guy's website, the first thing you hear is Rochester music. You click on this guy's website and you hear, I don't know, I think it was like Faith of a Little Seed or something like that playing. And Brother Robbie said, Scott, a lot of people are saying that y'all are for this guy. And I said, Brother Robbie, you know us. We are for Tabernacle. We're for Dr. Aiken, who's the pastor. We're for Dr. Pope. I said, we're for what's going on down there. And so we had a little family meeting, and it fell my lot. I was voted in as the voice to call this man. And y'all know how calm I am. How quiet and all that I am. Most of you do anyway. And I called him up. It's about 6 o'clock. We're not having service. It's a Wednesday. We're not having service at this youth meeting till starting at 8 o'clock. And so at 6 o'clock Wednesday night, I call this fella. And I said, brother, I said, it's come to our attention that you're standing against things that we're not against. And it's come to my attention that our music is on your website. I said, I've talked to my in-law's pastor, Dr. Ralph Sexton. And I said, I've talked to Brother Johnny Pope. I actually called him. I called Dr. Aiken, the pastor of Tabernacle. And I said, I've told them all that I was going to call you and just ask you to take our music off your website. And the first words out of his mouth, preacher, were, if I'd have known y'all were members of that compromising devil, Ralph Sexton's church, it just made me mad saying it right there. He said, I'd have never had your music on my website to start off with. And then he said, I guess you're friends with guys like Joe Arthur. And it's assured you're friends with Dr. Pope, the liberal Dr. Pope. And honestly, he was talking about my heroes, my kids' heroes. And I said, sir, all I'm going to say is you better shut your mouth. I said, because what my flesh wants to do is drive to your church and try to knock your head off in your yard. In Jesus' name. Honestly, it was all. I was mad. I've repented and asked the Lord. I got mad. Because, I mean, this guy is talking about my heroes. And we went on loudly for a couple more minutes. And my kids were like, you tell him, Daddy, you tell him. And I just said, sir, I said, just take our music off. I said, you didn't get permission to put it on there to start off with. I said, just take our music off. And I said, I just got one question. He said, what's that? I said, what do you have against all these guys, all these preachers? I said, they love the Lord and they preach the gospel. I said, what could be wrong with that? And this man told me, out of his own mouth, preacher, a pastor, what I thought was a preacher, he said, well, the gospel is more than the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And this is what he said, Brother Mike. He says, it's standards and it's convictions. And I said, sir, I'm not calling you brother anymore. I said, I'm not calling you preacher anymore. I said, because if you believe what you just told me out of your mouth, you're going to die and go to hell. I said, there's no way you can be saved believing the death, the burial, the resurrection, plus what you can do, plus how high a standard you can live, plus how holy of a conviction you have. I said, you're adding works. That's a legalist. I said, you're adding things to the salvation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I said, you're not going to make it to heaven believing that. I said, sir, you're not a brother anymore. I don't believe you're a brother. You're not even a preacher as far as I'm concerned. You may go over to that little old church that you're at and preach to the five people, three of them being your family that's in there. And I said, I know your message tonight is going to be how wicked the Rochesters are, how wicked these preachers are. I said, that's all you're going to do is you're going to pound them five people in your church with how wicked everybody else is. You're not even going to give them any part of the Bible. And I said, but what you need to do? I said, just go ahead and call off service tonight. I said, if you'll tune in to this youth meeting at about 8:25, 8:30, I said, Dr. Ralph Sexton will preach to you the gospel. And it'll be the gospel alone. I said, and if you believe what he has to say, you can be saved. I said, but apart from that, you have no chance to make it into heaven believing what you just told me. The next thing I hear was click. It's amazing. We have a hard time believing. But friend, if God said it, just take it for what it is. Because it's so, whether you believe it or not. It is the Bible. It is God's holy, righteous word. It is. You can take everything in that book to the bank and cash it in. You can lay your head on your pillow at night knowing that everything He says is true. Everything promised that He's made, He's going to accomplish. Everything He said He's going to do, He's going to do. Friend, you can take the Bible. You can believe it as God's word. You can take it and know that it is going to happen. It is true. You can believe the word of God, but there's a famine in the land of hearing. Famine in the land of so-called preaching. Famine in the land of believing. But number three, there's a famine in the land of perceiving. Just understanding. God gives light. The Holy Ghost gives light as to what He wants us to understand in His book. And it's not hard. It's not hard. You may not be able to pronounce one of them 19 syllable names, but the basic parts of the Bible is as easy to understand as A, B, and C. The youngest of the youngest can believe that they're a sinner. The youngest of the youngest can call on the name of the Lord and He'll save them. The oldest of the old can believe and understand what God has said. But yet people try to make it complicated. People try to say, I mean, the devil's been doing that since the Garden of Eden. I mean, the Lord told Adam and Eve, God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it. And when the devil come along to deceive Eve, he said, yea, hath God not said, don't touch it. God never said one thing about touching it. God said, don't eat it. And for all mankind's generation, Brother Mike, the devil's been putting that same stuff. Oh, it's got to be a little bit harder than that. It's got to be a little bit more complicated than that. No, it's just what God said. God gives us light. God gives us understanding. We can know. I mean, you're sitting in church one day and it seemed like you're reading through your Bible and you think that verse has just been added yesterday because it's something you've missed. But friend, I want you to know God can give us light. God can give us understanding. The youngest child to the oldest adult, God can let you know what the Bible says. God can let you know the interpretation of Scripture. We can let Scripture interpret Scripture, and God says, I can give you the perception, I can give you the understanding of the Word of God. But there's a famine in the land because of the doctors and the scholars and everybody else who wants to complicate what God has said. And that's a tool of the devil been used all of mankind. But Brother David, those Hispanics and San Luis Potosí can understand what thus saith the word of the Lord. We can perceive. We can know, but there's a famine in the land. And then number four, and I'm done. Macy, come on to the piano. There's a famine in the land of achieving. And what I simply mean by that is just obeying. Just doing what it says. The reason most churches ain't growing is because people ain't taking the Bible at face value. What it said. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Go in the highways and hedges. Compel them to come that my house may be full. The Lord's drawing. But I know people think I'll get saved when I'm good and ready. No, you won't. This flesh will never be ready. Your carnality, you'll never be ready. The Bible says, unless the Spirit of God draws, unless there's a wooing of the Holy Ghost, you won't come to God on your terms in your time, but you'll come to Him when He draws you. You'll come to Him when He says you're a sinner. When He whispers in your ear, sits up in the chair next to you, scooches His arm and love around you and lets you know, hey, I'm telling you, you need me as your Savior. When the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost tells you that you need Him as your Savior, that's conviction. That's the Lord telling you, you need to be saved. And that's the best time, the only time for you to be saved is when He's drawing you. Child of God, that woman said, told her servants, whatever He saith unto you, do it. Starting tonight at 8:06. That's what God wants from us in the spring revival. Whatever He saith unto you, just do it. Just obey. I've come to realize over the last few years, preach, I've heard it all my life, that the Spirit of God is the most easily grieved person in the service. You say, I won't grieve Him. But if you don't do what He says, He's grieved. I want God to have His way. There were lost people here this morning. I'm praying that they come back. And I'm praying that we as the people of God do what we're supposed to do and make it real easy for them to do what they need to do. I want to be as the disciples, and they were all in one accord. That's when God works best, Brother David, when we're all in agreement, when we're all just obeying and doing what God says, when we're all right with God, and when our minds are clean and when our hearts are pure, preacher, that's when God wants us to obey Him. That's exactly what He wants us to do, obey Him. You say, well, not tonight, preacher. You've grieved the Holy Ghost. You say, I'm not ready to make that decision. You already have. And the next verse says they were running to and fro. It's evident because of the famine, not of bread and not of water, but of hearing the word of God. You look out, you turn the TV on, people are running to and fro. You're thinking, what do we do now? What's going to happen? The economy's crashing. The world's about to go to war. What's going to happen? They're running to and fro. But God has told us, I'm the victor. We're not fighting to victory. We're fighting from victory. We're already on the winning side. We've already won. And it's God's word that told me that. I don't want to be a problem. Part of the problem, Brother David, of a famine. Preach, I want to be doing all I can to tell you, you need to listen to what God says. It's not a famine of the word of God, but it's a famine of just hearing what God has said. We'll stand before Him and be responsible for what we've heard. We'll stand before Him and be responsible for every deed and every action and everything we've done and everything we hadn't done. And it's going to be a sad day when God says, why didn't you? Why didn't you? Or He asks, why did you? All you had to do was obey. All you had to do was listen. All you had to do was hear, but you were part of the famine of hearing the word of God. I want to try to help the famine. Which I can promise you, if the Lord lays on your heart to bring us back next year, which we're coming whether you invite us or not, but and if I stand behind that sacred desk, again, next year, preacher, I'm going to try my best to preach what thus saith the word, the Lord, the word of God. I'm going to try my best to tell you there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I'm going to try my best to tell you that your babies need to be saved. I'm going to try my best, Christian, to tell you that you need to live right so your babies will see what a Christian is. I'm going to try my best to tell you that young people, that sin is dangerous. Sin is a snare. Sin wants nothing more than to rob you of your joy and your testimony and your character. And sin wants to rob you of your life. He wants to put the scars on you. The devil wants nothing more than to drag you off into hell if you're not saved. The devil, and that's what I want to be able to do, is to help the famine by preaching what thus said the word of God. I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. I just want to do what God tells me to do. I want to obey His voice. I want to try my best to understand. I want to try my best to believe, even those hard things. And I'm going to try my best as a child of God to preach what thus saith the word of God, to try to help the famine. Tonight, we might as well go ahead and make up our minds. Do we really want revival? We're going to have the campaign. We're going to have the effort. We're going to have the services. But as far as Town East goes, we got to get rid of the famine. We got to get rid of the famine of hearing the word of God. We're going to stand all over the building. Heads are bowed. Morgan, I want you to come and sing that song. I want you to sing that song about the book, the Bible. The preacher's coming. He's going to take this invitation. But church, tonight, go ahead and make your mind up. We don't want to be part of the famine. We don't want to be part of the problem. We want to do everything we can to help the problem. We want to try to stop the famine of hearing the word of God. Lord, I want to thank you for this night. I thank you for that grace. That's amazing. I thank you for your Bible that you've let us read and try to obey and understand. And I thank you for the word that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I thank you for the word that tells sinners they can be saved and they can go to heaven by believing what God said and understanding that He'll save them, take them to heaven. And God, help us all to obey what you say. God, help the meeting. Help Brother Riggs as he moderates the meeting. Help Brother Sam Riggs as he comes in and preaches tomorrow night, Tuesday night. And then, God, I pray for Brother Mark. God, I pray that you touch his body. God, help him. God, go ahead and prepare their hearts to give us what we need and prepare our hearts to accept what they have to say from hearing the word of God. Have your way. Touch hearts and change lives as only you can do. Save that one that's nearest to hell right now. And God, we'll say that we love you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen.